Welcome to the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Pick Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore. I've got actually smoke filling up my my apartment right now, so I think this podcast has been postponed for another date.
Did you do it to yourself? Because I'm 100% convinced that was you.
That couldn't have worked out more perfectly. It was a complete catastrophe.
Convenient how it could not have worked out more conveniently.
It was a complete catastrophe that had zero injuries and obviously zero deaths, as far as I know. They canceled the game in Mexico. They're bringing back a home game in which I get to talk to Greg Popovich. And I've got an airtight alibi, so I don't think anything could have actually gone better for me.
I don't know how you did that. That was amazing. Well, I mean, it was one thing when it was like, oh, it's like delayed. It was like, ha ha ha. It was like, no, like this is actually like seriously a problem. We are seriously gonna probably have to cancel it. Oh hey, they're rescheduling it. Oh hey, they're rescheduling it back in Minnesota.
Like, are they putting it on my birthday? Because that's the only thing I can think of that would be better.
Right. David Stern on his way out is just basically giving you a fist bump.
What I loved is how quickly the Spurs packed up. They're just like, no, we're not doing this.
We're out. See ya.
Team doctor's like, no, they can't play on a court that was just filled with smoke. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Not a good look for in the international.
Especially when leading up to it the couple days. I mean, not everybody because no one really cared that much. But the people involved were just like, I can't believe we're doing this. I can't believe this is a thing. It's ridiculous. And then it just got canceled. That's great. I do feel bad for the paying customers that did want to see a game there. Like, that does actually suck. But schedule, like, an exhibition game there. Why can't we do that?
I think they did, didn't they? I think they played down there.
How about this? Mexico City Summer League.
There you go. That's a wonderful plan. Nothing could possibly go wrong there.
Okay, how about this?
You and I saw Andre Blatch at Summer League in Vegas.
Oh my God, that would be. I mean, thank God they didn't stay there another day and try to play the game last night, because I would have. I tweeted this, but like I legitimately would have been concerned about an extra night in Mexico City for Shabazz Muhammad. Took him 2 hours in New Jersey to get in trouble during the rookie transition program.
Yeah, not a good look. Yeah, if Summer League were held in Vegas, Lance Stephenson would not be having the career he's having.
Let's no, definitely not.
So,
speaking of career years, speaking of fires.
Yeah, speaking of fires. I told you the Knicks, man. I told you.
Did you?
I did. I said you got to take the Knicks. I said the Knicks should be favored, and I would take them to win.
All I said was it should be a pick 'em. I was not.
It went from Knicks minus one to Nets minus one, and then sell that pick 'em the day of.
Yeah, I would not have favored either team. It should have just been a straight up pick 'em, and I'm glad that we settled there.
I'm really excited to see what the Knicks do tonight, and that's not me being sarcastic. I actually want to see, like, there are times when you're on a losing streak and you snap it, and it does give you some momentum. It's possible that maybe this is, because here's the thing: all they have to do is shoot well. Like, their team...
That's all they have to do.
Like, they're not winning the championship. But right. Their entire team is based upon unsustainable shooting. So all they have to do is get hot.
Sure.
You know? And the Magic aren't good right now. They're missing a lot of guys.
Yeah, I mean, at home, this is a very winnable game. They do need to start stringing a couple... You don't have to go on a six-game winning streak, but, you know, three in a row here and there for every loss. Like, you just gotta get back into some kind of scoring rhythm. And it is, I mean, they played exactly how they played last year when they were good. They didn't turn the ball over. They hit threes. The scoring was actually pretty spread out. Like, that was a good effort against a horrendous Nets team.
Should Jason Kidd be fired? If you're Billy King, do you fire Jason Kidd?
I don't know what that does. Who are you replacing him with? Lawrence Frank?
Let's say the Lionel Hollins will take the gig.
In season?
Lionel took over a couple of years ago. Lionel's pretty cold-blooded.
Yeah, but wasn't he already a part of the Grizzlies organization?
I
could be making that up.
I don't remember that. He coached them before.
Yeah, I could be making that up. Yeah, I mean, if you can get... I mean, Lionel Hollins is most likely a better coach than Jason Kidd, just because Kidd has done it for, I don't know, a month, been hilarious at it, and Lionel Hollins is proven to be actually a good coach. So if you can upgrade the coach and you get healthy... I just don't know how much of his stuff he could actually implement in season.
Yeah. So you think they let him ride out, and it's like if he improves, great. If not, there's no real benefit to firing him. So might as well let him ride out and then take care of it.
Yeah, I mean, I do think you have to give him the chance of what can this team do when they're healthy. Can he coach? Like, maybe he is one of those coaches. Who did we talk about this with, about how they can't? Maybe they can't like help grow a team, but they can take over a good team. You know, maybe Jason Kidd is a guy. You give him a good team, a healthy good team, and maybe he'll be a fine coach. Maybe he's more leadership than X's and O's, and if you have that group of players all healthy, the X's and O's probably just kind of figure themselves out because those guys have been around and have done so much. So I just think adding one more bit of drama to this team this season this early, I just wouldn't do it.
Great stat last night. Kidd has to win 9 in a row to hit the mark that Avery was at when he got fired.
But he doesn't have all the pressure of a Coach of the Month award. So that's good.
Shumpert looked great last night.
He did. I really thought he was going to get pulled in the first quarter after he hit a three.
Yeah.
I was worried about that. But, yeah, he looked good. Do you think for him it's trying to prove he belongs, or is it – well, I mean, I know what his mentality – his mentality is just going to be proving that he should play. But should it be proving he belongs, or should it be upping his trade value just in case he decide, like they deal him to where a contender will want to bring him aboard?
His approach, his motivation should be F you. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
It should be Simmons talked about this. He needs to be undeniably good. He needs to be so good that Woodson can't justify screwing with him.
Yeah, and that is the thing. He has not been undeniably good. We undeniably like him. We like his potential. We like what he has been, but he has not been good.
And you can make the argument of just because he's been better than J.R. Smith doesn't mean that means he deserves to play.
True.
Like, neither J.R. Smith nor Iman Shumpert have really deserved to play so far.
Right.
Tim Hardaway Jr. deserved to play.
Ooh, love him, and I love the celebrations that he's doing on the sideline. He's great.
They need to trade JR. I'm not even kidding. You have Tim Hardaway Jr. Who...
Yeah, but then what happens to Chris Smith? Come on. You've got to think about this, Matt. You can't just start throwing out these ideas without really doing the research and thinking about the consequences.
Wouldn't it be amazing if a story came out where they tried to trade him and then they're like, you have to take Chris Smith too, and the team's like, no, we're not doing that. We are not you. Absolutely not.
What if they offered up a second-round pick so that the other team would take Chris Smith?
Here, we'll give you Shumpert if you'll take Chris Smith.
I feel bad for Chris Smith. I'm not making fun of Chris Smith. I'm making fun of James Dolan for the whole situation. I applaud Chris Smith. You got a whatever reason, you got a guaranteed contract. You want to be in the NBA. I mean, you're in the D-League right now, but you want to be in the NBA. You've worked for it. You haven't earned it, but you worked for it. That's important. Good on him.
I have a question. Why did I take the Heat last night? I knew better. Why did I do it?
Tell me why. I mean, there's that one game every year, right?
Why did I do it? I don't know why. Made me so mad because like the Bulls just blew the doors off them, and I was like, I knew this was happening. This was coming. And I got sucked into, the Heat are so much better. Come on. Like, this team is not good. Come on.
They love to play the Heat.
They love to play the Heat.
Whether the talent is there to warrant a good game or not, they just love playing the Heat. Noah's comments after the game were fantastic about hating them, like how the city hates them, and that, you know, they just love playing those guys, and they really do. They love beating that team. They can't do it in the playoffs, but they love doing it.
It's really funny because you can tell that they like, I think even LeBron's kind of like, why do you, like, I feel like LeBron was going to joke him no and be like, why do you hate me so much? Like, yeah, what did I do?
I'm not dancing anymore.
Like, yeah, I haven't done anything. Like, I, you know, my commercials are all about playing with my kids. Come on.
And taking pictures with Chris Anderson.
Yeah. So, God, the Grizzlies. Ugh.
Ooh.
I know it's the injury. Everybody, like, Grizzlies fans are like, they were missing Marc Gasol. Zach Randolph had to leave the game. Tony Allen was out. And then they lost Ed Davis. And I'm like, yeah, but God, the Clippers are on the. I just always feel that if you're at home versus a team on a back to back, you should always win.
Yeah.
You should never lose that game.
Yeah, I mean, whether the injuries are there or not, if these two teams kind of put themselves together as rivals, which I think they do. I mean, certainly the fan bases hate each other.
Yeah.
Especially
the players. The players hate each other too.
Yeah, they hate each other. But I mean, you can hate guys and not think it's a rivalry, you know?
Yeah.
But I think they do kind of buy into the idea of them being a rivalry. So healthy or not, you're going to want to kick their ass. And I mean, Blake Griffin was injured during the playoffs last year. The Grizzlies didn't seem to mind still abusing him, right? I mean, I injuries or not, like you're going to want to take that team down, because at a certain point, all you see is the jersey.
Yep.
And so that's it's not a bad loss for the Grizzlies. It's not a great win for the Clippers, but it's one that you kind of just, yeah, we destroyed you. Like, yep. you have to take that.
Yeah, I can't get a hold of Memphis. I just don't know what to think about them.
I mean, it's hard to really figure it out with all these injuries, right?
I can't get past this point, which is you're not gonna have a defense that is unfathomably awesome every year.
Right.
Like, you're gonna have some years where you're great, and some years where you're really good, and some years where you're good. Even if you're an overall good defense, you're going to fluctuate in the top 10 in defensive efficiency, top 10, top 8. And with Memphis, they have to be so good every single game of defense, because they can't score at all. It puts way too much pressure on their good defense. Like, they have to hold you. If Memphis can't hold them to 85 points or less, they're in trouble.
It is really interesting to think about. Okay, this core is basically together for this season and next season, right? And then after you could trade Randolph or somebody, but this is kind of it. And then after that, they've got some decisions to make on where the identity of this team goes. Do they try to keep the grit and grind? I mean, in 2015, Randolph will be up, Gasol will be up, Prince will be up. Depending on what happens with Ed Davis in free agency, you know, he'll probably be either somewhere else or locked in for a couple of years. Bayless will be gone. Kufos is up. I mean, they have a lot of decisions to make in the next 2 years on how you shape this team. And I agree with you. Like, you can't just hope you have a great defense every night and that's the way you go. Like, you've got to have more of a balance. And I am interested to see how, you know, Levian and Hollinger and these guys kind of decide where to go with this team.
I think they're 500 at the trade deadline. They move Randolph. I do think this team probably has very well. Here's kind of an interesting question, right? So if you think you can make the playoffs, they need the revenue because they're still paying off the sale. They're still paying off buying the team. Ownership is
right.
And so if you're still trying to make the playoffs, then you obviously don't. But then if it's, well, we have a 50% chance of making the playoffs, and even if we do, we're only getting two home games out of it because we're probably getting swept in the first round. If you're looking at that, then you're like, might be better to shed the salary. You might wind up making more money by getting rid of Randolph now and saving the millions. Like, it's a really interesting kind of financial question.
Do you think that the record matters or their place in the playoff picture matters? Like, if they're 500 but they're seventh in the West, do you think that's enough to do what you're talking about, or do they kind of hang out and just say, oh, we would like that playoff revenue?
The West is so good; it's hard to see that happening. But I think if they were seventh in the West, I still think they would lean towards it, just because they know that the window of his trade value is going to close. That's why the rumors popping up, is because they can't help themselves but look at the deal. They can't help but go, yeah, but he's getting old, and we could, you know, if we move him now, he's got good value. That
right.
They know that it's that car that, you know, has got the transmission problem, and eventually it's going to go out, and you're screwed. Like, you have to sell the car.
Sell a car, get a motorcycle.
Well, yeah, and that's what they want to do. They want to get, yeah. They want to get like a smart car, like something efficient, you know, a hybrid. Selling Zeebo is like selling that old beat up truck that runs forever and will haul anything, but you know, eventually will die.
John Luehr is kind of like a Ford Fusion.
He is,
and I don't mean that. That's not a pejorative thing. That's a you can get around with that.
So yeah, I think it's you know, and that might be one where Cleveland might be able to get in too.
God, they're just involved with everything.
Well, I was thinking, you know, if they were to package like Dion and Varejao for Zach and somebody, maybe Bayless.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could probably get that done, and then you're really kind of, you're doing, and then I think Memphis would probably be pretty happy with that because they save some money. They still got good players. You can play Varejao with Gasol.
And having Tony Allen and Deion Waiters on the same team, nothing will go wrong with that.
Nothing will go wrong.
No, it'll be great.
Nothing. The card games will go smoothly, and it'll be like a My Little Pony's playtime.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Portland, because I just wrote this thing up for this new series I'm doing about bi-weekly to tri-weekly whenever we need something called The Answers. You and I talked about this the other day, and we're both in the same place on it, and I kind of have gone back on it a little bit after the Thunder win, so I want to kind of clarify it. In that Portland's played who they played. They did not make the schedule. They played who's been in front of them, and they've beaten everybody in front of them. They deserve to be considered one of the best team in the Western Conference. They deserve to be considered one of the best teams in the league. They deserve to be in consideration for getting a top four seed, maybe even a top three seed. And I think they have an outside chance at making a run at the West. I could say all those things and still say you need to keep in mind that the schedule has been really bad. There's some weird stuff with their resume.
Sure. I think my problem with that is we don't do that with the good teams, though. Like
maybe we should, though. You know, maybe we should look at San Antonio.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe we should. Maybe San Antonio's – I mean, I have nothing to base this on. It's just maybe they've had an easy schedule so far, you know, and we don't necessarily look at that. So maybe if we start doing that with the good teams, not saying Portland isn't good, but the teams we knew were going to be good and are going to be great – and did that with everybody, I would be much more at ease with this kind of conversation.
Yeah, no, and I mean, the thing is, you know, we should try and get the most accurate answer as possible, because that's our job, and the fans want to know, like, the closest thing that we can get to whatever the truth is, quote unquote. Like, it's not important, but we might as well. Like, we're doing this anyway. We're talking about basketball. We might as well try and be right.
That doesn't sound like us.
It does not at all sound like us. But yeah, no, I mean, like, the Blazers have the 11th toughest schedule, and then the Rockets have the 15th, the Spurs have the 20th, Pacers have the 29th.
Yeah, you look at Indiana, they're 13-1 against teams below 500.
Yeah.
And yet we're drooling all over them, and rightfully so, they're really good. But it's just kind of funny how because of their run last year, we've accepted them as, hey, we really like this team, they're a great team. And then they come out with the start, we're like, see, we knew it. And with the Blazers, we were kind of iffy, and I think, and I'm just talking, you know, in generalities here. Like, I just think we kind of look for an unnecessary hedge instead of just accepting it for what it is.
I think part of it with me is more of a defense. I think it's more of Blazers fans and the league in general wants to go, oh, the Blazers are better than these teams because they've beaten them, and I'm like, you beat them on a back-to-back at home.
Yeah,
that's a big thing to me, and people and. I got into Blazers fans went ballistic because they're like, the Blazers were on a back to back against the Pacers as well, and the Pacers got into town first. And I was like, but you're at home and they've been on the road for 5 days. Right. Like, this matters. Like, this, it's just a harder game for them. It simply is. I don't know how else to get around this for you. Like, it's just harder. Like, winning on the road on a back to back is exceptionally difficult. Meanwhile, the Blazers are 5-0 on back-to-backs themselves, which – and this is something I brought up, which is you can look at that and you can go one of two ways. You can say, all right, very few teams are that good to win all of their games on back-to-backs. The response is, yeah, but if we're trying to make the argument that the Blazers are that good, there's the proof. They are that good. They've even won all their games on a back-to-back.
Yeah.
So that works in there. I looked at their clutch time stats. Sweet mother of God, Zach.
Doing things.
Last 5 minutes, ahead or behind 5 points. They're 8-1. They have an offensive efficiency of 137.6.
That seems high. Because I think the league leader just overall for all time, not just clutch time, is like, I don't know, 110, 111?
Yeah.
So 137 definitely sounds high.
I mean, they're insanely good at closing out games. They're plus 39 in during that the time period. They're plus 39 in 32 minutes of being ahead or behind 5 points in games.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous. That's absolutely absurd. And you could say, well, you know, they're mega clutch, or you could say, well, you know, this is probably because we had the same thing last year, actually, where they won a ton of close games going into the beginning of the new year, and Blazers fans were like, we're going to make the playoffs. And I was like, no, you're not. And then they faded. Now, I don't think they're going to fade that much. Like, this team is legitimately that good. Their team construct is built. I've talked about the offense a lot, so we don't need to rehash it. And I actually don't worry as much about the defense. bad as the numbers are, I actually think that they're going to improve a little bit. I think that they can get better the more that they figure out the rotations and how to play together.
Yeah, well, I think you expect them to get some cohesiveness as they play together more, because that's usually what happens with good teams. It's not like, oh my God, yeah, we've been playing together for 3 months now, and now I just can't stand rotating for you. Like, that usually doesn't happen unless, I don't know, you're the Nets.
That's exactly. By the way, one last thing on the Nets. The KG thing where he got blown by and Bargnani totally roasted them the entire night, and then he got in like the tussle with them, and then like Bargnani got ejected for running his mouth at it. Like, I don't know, did KG win that then though? If he got Bargnani ejected,
we lost by 30, so probably not.
No.
I love how KG gets blamed for the tussle. Wasn't that just equal parts? Why is it KG's fault?
I agree.
I thought it was completely equal. Like, both of them started, like, unnecessary. It was almost like the Night at the Roxbury, where they like, I just expected a woman to be between them as they start, like, bump dancing her. Like, that's what it looked like to me.
I was really shocked when he got blown by on that dunk.
Well, he had just used up all of his energy on that dunk on the previous possession. So yeah, it takes a while to recharge the battery.
And then I didn't know what to do when Amari Stoudemire blocked a shot. I was like, if that's the last time he jumped, he chose to give him a good time.
It was nice that game was such a blowout, because I went and did a little coaching last night. Yeah. And so, like, I missed a good portion of the game. So I came back and I was able to just kind of power through it real quickly. But it was, thank God that it was to a point in the game where, early enough, where I was just like, yeah, I can just watch this on a two speed. I can get the majority of what's going on from that.
Who's the most vexing team league for you to figure out right now? Is there a team, do you feel like you have a lock on all of them, or is there a team that you're just like, God, I just cannot figure this team out?
Because
I have three.
I feel like I have a pretty decent handle on all. I'm not confused by all the teams. I'm just not. I wouldn't say I'm confused by teams, but I also wouldn't say, like, I feel like I have them solved. Like, it's just, they're kind of just there.
Yeah.
Maybe Phoenix is one of them.
Yeah. For me, it's Phoenix, Atlanta, Boston are the three I can't figure out.
No, you just refuse to accept that Boston can win games. It's not that you can't figure them out.
No, it's that I understand how terrible they are, and they continue to win. And everyone's just like, oh, yeah, they won. I'm like, no, don't you understand? This is one of the worst teams in creation.
It's really not, though.
I will not let go of this.
Brad Stevens is a good coach.
They're going to make the playoffs. I'm still going to be like, no.
God, that's the worst thing that can happen to them. I cannot stress enough. Like, I know it's a, screw you guys, you thought we were going to be bad, and look, now our team's awesome. It's such a bad mentality to have, especially this year. You've got to lose. You got to stop playing Jordan Crawford. He's too good. You got to lose, Boston. Do it. Go on a 20-game losing streak. Trust me. It will suck in the interim. It's like getting your eyebrows waxed. It hurts a little bit, but it pays off so much.
Danny Ainge doesn't buy in, so.
Then it's Brad Stevens' job to take over and start messing with the rotations. Let more Jared Sellinger threes happen. I would be running that
he's
play.
He's been phenomenal for mid-range, by the way.
Yeah, he can shoot from mid-range. He cannot shoot threes. I don't care if he's 31% or whatever the hell he is. That is a terrible shot for him to take. Why would you have him away from the basket like that?
I have to write this up in a little bit about Rondo's high school coach talked about how Melo's been recruiting him. It's relevant to me. Like, I mean, it's one of those, like, that's weird, but there's no way New York gets him. They can't do it. Like, unless the Celtics were really like, yeah, no, we'll take Amari Stoudemire for our best player. If that makes sense.
It's, I mean, I guess you just assume that Boston gets desperate to tank, right? Because, well, I mean, you don't have any picks to deal.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Could Shumpert, Amari, and Chris Smith get a deal done?
No. Like, absolutely not. Like, there's nothing, what there's if, absolutely nothing they can give them. Like, finding value for Rondo is exceptionally difficult. If we could get
JR and Jordan Crawford on the same team, I will move to Boston. I will spend the rest of my year in Boston. I won't even travel for playoff games. You guys are gonna be like, time to go to Miami. I'm gonna say, nope, I'm right here, guys. I need to wait the story out.
I really would love. I would really love the All-Star game to do a Gunners versus like role players game.
God.
Like J.R. Smith, Jordan Crawford, Jamal Crawford,
Nick Young,
Deion Waiters, Nick Young. And you can just don't have bigs. You can just do role players on the perimeter. Yeah. Like against you, like Shane Battier,
Kawhi,
and Dallas Nepalosha, and like Iguodala,
Kawhi, Danny Green.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would watch the hell out of that.
Gunners versus lock 'em up.
Let Popovich coach the role players.
Mike Woodson.
No, I would just say J.R. Smith player coach. This would work so well.
Oh man. Okay, you want to do games for the night?
Yeah, let's do that.
Big slates. A lot of interesting ones here. The Wizards, they opened at 10, is now a 9.5 favorite. They are favored over the Milwaukee Bucks at home. I think I have a pretty good idea who you're going to take here.
I'll take my Wizards. Abracadabra.
I'm taking them. This one's giving me a little bit of pause just because I still can't figure out how Washington is this good without Beal, but we'll ride it for another game.
Yeah.
The Bobcats are favored by 7 over the 76ers.
Ooh.
Bobcats are at home. Yeah, that's another one.
I like the Bobcats to win, but I think the Sixers cover.
Okay. I'm taking Charlotte because, you know, I got a thing for them.
Yeah.
This is a really fascinating one to me. The Atlanta Hawks are hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Hawks are favored by 6.
Cavs had a nice game. They've had a couple good ones in a row, right?
Yeah, that's Bulls and then Nuggets.
Yeah, and we said that we wanted them to show us a little something. So they've showed us something for 2 games. I think I'll still take the Hawks because they're at home. Yeah, 6-point win's not that bad. Yeah, I'll go Hawks.
I'm taking Cavs. I just can't get a handle on ATL, and they played too well against the Clippers, so now I feel like they have to come back. Paul Millsap's been awesome though.
He's really good.
He's been so good.
He's an exceptional player.
Lived up to the billing. Denver is in Boston, and the Nuggets are a 4-point favorite on the road.
Oh, I want to be a troll and take Boston, but I got to go Denver.
I almost took Boston. Like this one would not surprise me. I hate that line. I'm taking Denver because they're better. But I mean, look, Denver lost to Cleveland, and they're in the middle of this long ass road trip. This is their fourth road game, and they're still they don't get home till next Friday.
Yeah, that's a long time.
They're on the East Coast for a long ass time. The Magic are on the road in the Garden. Knicks are favored by 5.
I feel a Knicks streak coming. Let's go with the Knicks. Why not?
I'm taking Orlando to win outright. I need to see if New York wins this game, I'll start to get back on board. Yeah, I win 2 in a row.
All I needed was one good shooting game from them. I'm back on.
Right, but it was versus the Nets, so it's not really even a game.
Shots are shots.
That should be J.R. Smith's logo as a website. Like, this should be
ShotsOfShots.com.
ShotsOfShots.com. That's actually a website you should start. If you get fired from CBS and you don't want to restart Talk Hoops, just start ShotsOfShots.com and build your way back up from the start.
I don't even think I own Talk Hoops anymore.
The game of the night, probably. The Rockets are hosting the Warriors. The Rockets are 4.5-point favorites. I was kind of surprised at that line.
At home, I like it. I think the Warriors will play them tough, but I could see this being a free throw thing at the end to cover.
So you think Houston covers?
Yeah, but I've gotten 5-point win.
Like it's part of it is, you know, Golden State sent out an email to their fans thanking them for the experience in Roracle the other night, and it was awesome. But you also, now that we're kind of apart from it, I'm kind of like, you know, they did have to stage a 27-point comeback at home versus the Raptors, like. That should probably be mentioned somewhere in between us freaking out over their shooting is the fact that they needed a 27-point comeback. This one's really weird to me, too. This one's there's something going on here. Oklahoma City's at home. Or no, they're on the road in New Orleans. And the Thunder are favored by 5 over the Pelicans. Is that 4.5? It's up to 5 now.
Yeah, I like that.
That seems low to me.
I think Pelicans are at home. They'll play them tough at home. I like the Thunder to cover, but that sounds about right.
Okay.
This Thunder
team. Like a late runaway?
Yeah, this Thunder team is damn good.
Because the Pelicans have trouble closing. They should have beaten Dallas at the night and couldn't close.
Yep.
That was they played really well and just did not have the execution late in that game. The Suns are 4-point favorites versus the Raptors. Who the Raptors, by the way, I'll just go ahead and get out in front of this one. The Raptors have entered my I'm going to bet against them losing until they win again.
Yeah, I like the Suns here. I don't know how you trust the Raptors after. I mean, that could rally them to be like, all right, that was ridiculous. We can't give up a 27-point lead. But it also could be an unraveling to Tanksville.
Yeah. Could also be a lot of finger-pointing.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a lot of crap for this one. The Portland Trail Blazers host the Utah Jazz tonight. The Portland Trail Blazers are 11.5-point favorites.
His Jazz team is scrappy. I'll ride with the Blazers just because they're at home. But I Utah covering this would not shock me at all.
109-104, Portland wins, Utah covers. I think it's a close game until the end. I think Portland may have to do another comeback, press them a digit thing. The Los Angeles Lakers are without Kobe Bryant. He will not play. He did not travel to Sacramento. Toronto on, I think, it's either Saturday or Sunday.
Sunday.
Is it Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday. Looks good.
Man, he's definitely playing.
Yeah, I think I saw a tweet right before we started saying that maybe D'Antoni said chances are pretty good.
Yeah.
For Sunday. So maybe we should talk about that right after we pick this game. But I'll roll. I think the Kings win this game.
Me too.
By 5.
I have them by 6. So there you go. Yeah. The Kings are favored by 3.5.
Yeah.
Gasol's banged up. Kobe's not playing. Nash is out. Who else? Jordan Farmar's out.
Just two beat.
They've
up.
Had. Yeah, they've got a lot of guys, and I like the direction that this Kings team is going.
I like the system matching up well against the Kings, but I don't think they'll have the firepower to pull out the cover.
Yeah. So should be a fun one though.
Yeah, but Kobe coming back. Let's just assume it's Sunday. Even with all the injuries they have right now, is it? I guess I wonder how much does he buy into the system, right? Like the system is actually kind of perfect for him.
I think he buys it immediately. He liked it last year.
Yeah.
You know, and they did different stuff last year, but a lot of it is set a pick, get a favorable matchup, and take your guy. And he's going to respond to that.
He will like that quite a bit.
that should speak to his preferences.
Considering he usually does anyway, but he always feels that he has the favorable matchup, so... I feel like this is I'm honestly really excited to have him back. I hate all the speculation with guys coming back and just speculation in general. I'm not a huge fan of it. I want to see the best players on the court, as do most people, and I just think the league is a lot more fun, good or bad, when Kobe Bryant's on the court. I'm really excited to see him back.
It'll be interesting. We'll put the over under at 23.5 points for his comeback.
Yeah, no, I think he has a big one coming back. I think we tend to see this a lot with, I mean, not Achilles injuries, obviously, because we don't see a ton of those in the first place, but with massive like leg injuries of some sort, the first game back seems to always be pretty good, I feel like. I mean, that's just might be me using some confirmation bias here, but I feel like the first games are usually pretty good, and then it's that second game. You have to recover. You have to, you know, your body has to learn how to get back for the next game. I think the next game will be tough for him, but then I think he'll wear off the rust pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think I did have a moment yesterday where I was thinking about it, and I was like, because I was watching Garnett, and I was like, man, what if Kobe comes back and it's just like, what if this is the year? What if this is the year when the guys from the 90s, it's just like, nope, time has come. It's over.
Yeah, it's I mean, especially just with the Achilles injury. I know a lot of Lakers fans are hanging on to this. Well, Dominique came back and had a great year. That's true, but that, I mean, just because that happened to Dominique doesn't mean it's going to happen to Kobe. And I would say that Kobe is more reliant on athleticism, which I know sounds crazy when you're talking about Dominique. But Kobe, I mean, Dominique would just kind of a quick first step and he would go over you. Kobe is so side to side, back and forth with these step backs and, you know, these side steps and everything. If the athleticism isn't quite there as it was last year, that could be some trouble for him. Not saying he can't adjust, but I just think that he is going to be much more susceptible to losing a step than maybe Dominique was that year, because he moves in so many different directions.
I mean, the most likely scenario is that Kobe comes back and is at least 85 to 90% of what he was. He has a slow decline, but it's not major. He still has a great year. The Lakers make the playoffs and lose in the first round. Like, that's the most likely scenario, I feel like.
That they make the playoffs?
I don't know.
I don't think they make the playoffs, but
I'm having a hard time because of where the West is at, because I'm like, you know, Denver's playing well, but I'm still gonna wait to see a little bit. Memphis, Denver are in shaky areas. The Pelicans have been overall bad. They've been disappointing. I wouldn't say they've been bad. I would think that they've been disappointing compared to what their highest expectations were. They're a long ways from what would be a reasonable, or what would be like, oh, they should be about here. They should be considerably better than they've been.
And I think you could say the exact same thing about the Timberwolves.
I would agree. I was trying not to say it, but yeah, I would agree with that.
I still think the Timberwolves are fine, and I think that their January schedule is so easy that they're going to look great going into February. And all the panic right now is, I mean, this is all assuming health, obviously, but I'm just not worried about them. But I think that that's fair to say exactly what you just said about the Pelicans can be said about the Timberwolves.
You know, and Dallas has been better than I expected. So Dallas is hanging in there.
Yeah.
Got a lot of concerns about their defense, though. The thing that made me the most mad about the way the Pelicans handled their late game execution was Drew Holiday got whatever the hell he wanted on Jose Calderon. Just whatever. And they really don't have a scheme to help out. Like, even the zone read, once you get your guy in space, if you can still get around him with the extra step, like, that was the thing is you know, they're playing that zone, and Calderon's like, go ahead and shoot, and Drew's like, no, I'm still going around.
Which, you know, I'm not a basketball expert or anything, but I feel like Drew Holiday consistently has an extra step.
Yeah.
That he can go around guys with. Like, he's pretty good at that.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think I think you and I are in the same place. Neither of us think the Suns are going to keep this up. There's got to be a point where reality comes back. I mean,
yeah.
Dragic, Bledsoe, Markieff Morris, who's been amazing. Who's I'm blanking. PJ Tucker, creative player.
Yeah.
Like, they're remarkable. But by the way, how much have you watched Brian Roberts for the Pelicans?
Oh, I love Brian Roberts.
Yeah, I thought he would be your kind of guy.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, because I watched him. I've just seen him a bunch in summer league the last couple of years when I've been there.
Yeah.
And then seeing him, he played a decent amount last year, I feel like, in the regular season, and he's one of those like maybe JJ Barea type guards that he comes in to score. You know, like he's a very, very poor man's Isaiah Thomas, but I think he's kind of in that similar mold, if that makes sense.
You know, it's crazy. I'm looking at SRS, which is a metric on Basketball Reference Factors, point differential, and strength of schedule. Here's your Western playoff pictures right now: Spurs, Clippers, Blazers, Thunder, Rockets, Wolves, Warriors, Nuggets. Mavericks are on the outs. Suns are on the outs. Pelicans are on the outs, and then Lakers and Grizzlies behind them.
Yeah.
So the question is, can Kobe coming back make this team specifically, and I don't want to hear about Steve Nash. I don't want to hear about it. Like, Steve Nash is one of my favorite players of all time. I love the man. Yeah, I love everything about him.
It just looks so bad.
Like, I hate hearing the quotes from him. I want him to retire just so I don't have to feel for him and the struggle that he's going through. I feel so bad for Steve Nash right now.
Yeah.
Because you can tell he's like, I'm trying. I'm really trying.
Oh, and there was some quote today, I think, Dave McMenamin had it about, he said at some point you have to dance with the devil. And when that's your mentality with when are you going to play, like, that's kind of a scary thought.
Yep. I got to play eventually.
Yeah.
That's, you know, when you get to the point where it honestly seems like it's so painful for him that he dreads it, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and he still loves it, but it's really tough. So, yeah, I mean, maybe you're right. The Lakers aren't. So maybe the best case scenario is he comes back. The most likely scenario is he comes back, he plays great. They're in the picture for a while. They fade at the end. They don't make it in the end.
Yeah, I think that's actually the most realistic as well. I think that's what will happen.
Like, it's kind of funny with them because I don't think they're a good team, but them frequently winning doesn't surprise me. They're not like the Celtics to me. The Celtics legitimately surprise me that they win. Who's good on their team?
I still think if you swapped the Bobcats roster with the Celtics roster, you would be all about this team.
But I like Gerald Henderson. I like Kemba Walker. I like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
I think you would like a lot of these guys if they weren't in Celtics uniforms.
I don't think so. I don't like Jaren Sollinger. I've never been impressed with Jaren Sollinger since college.
If Vitor Favaroni was a backup center.
No, I hate that.
No.
If
he was a backup center for the 2006 Detroit Pistons, you'd be all about this guy. He'd be Jelko Rabraka for you.
Maybe you're right. I don't know. Can't figure it out.
I know you don't like Jordan Crawford. I can't get you to like him. I've tried. I've really tried.
Well, I have to. At this point, it was when it was like a week, it was like, all right, that's cute. But now I'm like, you know what? Look, he's really committed himself to trying to be a better player. I have to credit the guy. I mean, there's
going to be a point where he's going to have an awful January, and you're going to be like, I knew it.
Well, part of it. You want to know what's funny is we talk about these guys, and I think, generally speaking, more open to change than you are. You tend to be like, no, like we've seen what this guy is. I tend to be like, well, no, he can change. He can grow. Like Kyle Lowry, I think, is a great example. Kyle Lowry was terrible in Memphis.
Yeah, he was awful.
Awful. And, you know, and then he was really great in Houston.
And now he's awful again.
Now he's awful again.
I can't wait for him to go to a new team so he can be good again.
Before we go, I do want to ask you that. All right, you're Masai Ujiri today. What do you do?
Trade them all. Keep Jonas. I would trade anybody else. Everybody else has a price tag, I think.
I can't decide whether DeMar's been so good that he warrants not trading, or DeMar's been so good it's trade him now.
I think it's trade him now, and it's not a knock on DeMar. I just think like you don't saddle yourself with that kind of a contract. That's a Brian Colangelo contract, right?
And also, it's what, 10 a year?
10 a year, but those are the things, like, you can't just have a random 10 a year on it. Like, that's got to be a very good player for you. And not that he hasn't been good, just I don't look at him and think, that's a guy that I definitely want in my core. I think he's a luxury to have. I don't think he's a definite.
DeMar DeRozan, three-point update, 39% on the season.
Yeah.
How long does he have to go for you to buy in?
About a year and a half.
He plays the entire season. And she's 39. Well, I mean, that makes sense though, because you've said before where guys just have random years where they can.
Yeah, like I mean, Deshaun Stevenson probably had a few years in there. I still don't think he's a good shooter. For the most part, he's terrible.
He's a free agent now, right?
Free agent / no one wants him. Yeah.
Oh, somebody needs to go get Deshaun.
Really?
Oh, the Knicks. The Knicks need to go get Deshaun.
Oh my god.
That would be amazing. Can you imagine J.R. on?
I'd actually like him on the Nets right now.
Deshaun had 5 seasons over 50%. Or over 35%, rather.
Yeah, he also had
8 seasons below.
Yeah, I mean, he it was just very inconsistent. Like, he would have... Like, he had 2 really good years back-to-back in Washington, and then he had 2 really atrocious years. And then he had a solid year, and then he had an atrocious year, and he ended on a solid year.
That's been the other problem with Washington, is they keep having the situation where bad players have good years, and it forces them to respond. Because, I mean, if you're the Wizards and you're trying to keep anybody who's good, if a guy has a good year, you're like, we got a guy, right?
Right.
And yet, and then they sign him, and it's like, oh, no. No, he's not good at all.
I mean, I just think when you go from 40% to 38% to 27 to 21 – you're not a good shooter. You don't see those kind of wild swings with good shooters.
But then 38% with Dallas when he was amazing.
Yeah, and then 28% the year after.
But 38%.
Sure, yeah, and he got a ring, fantastic, and he, you know.
And then 36% the year after.
Exactly, he's inconsistent. Good shooters aren't inconsistent.
Speaking of consistency, though, congratulations to Kyle Korver for probably breaking the three-point record tonight.
Yeah, that's a weird record.
Yeah, you think that was stupid? I'm trying to be nice about it because the Hawks are making a big deal. I don't really care, but
yeah, I mean, I really like Kyle Korver. Obviously, he's a 3-point shooter, so I like him. And I like the way the Hawks use him. I actually love him in Budenholzer's system. But it's just a weird record. Like, I think Kevin Martin had made like 38 straight free throws at some point during the season, and there was already talks of, like, can he beat Michael Williams' record? I think it's, like, 97 straight free throws. He said it with the Timberwolves. That's the league record and the franchise record, obviously. And, they, like, there were talks about it kind of after, like, the first 35 or so. And I was just like, That's a weird record. Like, most consecutive free throws. Like, I guess if you have that, that's cool. But I would never think, like, this is something that really that shows you a lot. Like, I don't know. It's a cool stretch, I guess. But I don't know. Those kind of records are weird to me. Like, the most consecutive, like, double-digit scoring game record. Like, those are just weird. I guess it's a cool thing if LeBron beats Michael Jordan's record of that. But what does that mean? Like, I just don't know. I don't know what that means. I know it means consistency, but...
It means that I really want Josh Smith to try and break this record. I want him to commit to this in his career.
Just shoot enough. If you shoot 13 a game, you're bound to get this record.
That's what's amazing about Detroit playing well, is Detroit's playing well and Josh Smith has played like poop. It's just been
weird that he's been bad after being so great for so many years.
Yeah.
I just want everyone to admit he's been awful on offense the last 2 years before this season.
I like him when he drives and passes.
Yeah, it'd be great if he did that.
Okay.
I like Ricky Rubio when he hits shots. I mean...
Oh, the weekend. Pacers, Spurs. Who do you like?
Where is it?
San Antonio.
I like the Spurs. That's going to be a great game.
Should be a great game.
Yeah.
I got to roll. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Matt.